Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent partner in life and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight, but first, as always, let's begin by asking for God's blessing.
Abba, Father, Holy God of Israel, thank you for giving us your only Son, our Savior. We exalt and use the power of his name over our enemies that surround us. May the light of your word be a path unto our feet. As some soon return to school, protect our children from secular brainwashing and any lurking predators as we continually pray for our unsaved loved ones, that they may know you personally and passionately in these last days. We lift up to you, our listeners, health issues, and particularly for one more recent prayer request, please bless tonight's study as we honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen and shalom, shalom.
We've had a couple requests for an update on Iran and Israel.
Well, that's understandable, and we would rather leave all that mob rioting lawlessness to Fox News because they have been covering it quite extensively. But they don't talk much about Israel, so we will. And unfortunately, Israel is also getting hit pretty hard with the COVID-19.
Well, but like us, are dealing with it.
True. They are. While at the same time, most conclude, although Israel's denying this, that they had a hand in the many attacks upon Israel's nuclear facilities, missile sites, and an oil pipeline over the last few weeks. However, it is reported that Iran, although not successfully, praise God, attempted to cyber attack Israel's water system, and since then, Israel has responded strongly. Others think it was just a disgruntled ex-contractor that was probably responsible for the that one explosion at the Natanz nuclear facility.
All this could break out into a full-scale war between Israel and Iran.
Well, if so, we would have to assist in that in some capacity. Mm-hmm. However, Iran has recently joined as an official partner with China and signed a 25-year partnership pact. But according to some reports, and we also have Bible prophecy, they're just not going to retaliate yet.
Well, at least in any big way.
Right. Just keep it simple, because they think, and they're probably right, that any war would keep Trump in office, because people don't remove a president during war times. So that's the last thing China and Iran want to see happen.
Well, they both aggressively hate America in a big way.
Actually, they hate Trump in a big way.
Uh-huh.
Also, as we said last week, they will likely take us out first before they hit Israel so that we can't help them. We also know, thanks to the prophetic scriptures, especially Ezekiel 38, that they will not attack on any big scale till after the tribulation begins. So, any large wars concerning Israel that you're hearing about today, well, they might not happen. And you could consider them more rumors of wars, as Jesus said in Matthew 24.
Meaning we are experiencing those foreshadows.
Yes. And by the way, wars aren't always on a military scale. You know, we're also experiencing other wars, as in the trade wars, especially with China, as well as tech wars and cyber wars, war on capitalism, especially if the socialist Biden wins.
Many rumors of a big civil war,
which is really brewing right now, as we all know, in some major cities.
Well, you know, even some geopolitical wars have started.
Oh, right, yeah. You know, the left actually wants to move districts around, and a lot of talk about bringing the cities into the suburbs, beginning with tall buildings and a lot of affordable housing.
Which, of course, brings in thieves and drugs and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. As I saw Sunday night on Mark Levin's program, I highly recommend that. If a suburb doesn't go along, they can lose state funding, which means they would have to fix their own roads, bridges, and so much more.
Man, you know, that's just not affordable.
They wouldn't be able to do it. But that is what will happen.
Well, the left has already inferred it.
Mm-hmm. Ah, but they're keeping it quiet till after the election because they know the suburbanites, well, they would vote for Trump then if they knew what they were planning.
You wanted to relate that testimony you heard yesterday?
Oh, yeah, that lady from Yugoslavia. She actually compares events unfolding right here today, similar to her family went through in the takedown of Yugoslavia. She warns that what we are seeing are scripted, emotionally charged events designed to cause chaos and turn citizens against each other to invoke a deadly civil war that will bring down America. You know, in Yugoslavia, the hatred was pushed by the treasonous media. The division of the people, the turning of citizens against each other, along with the shootings, the violence, the media hysteria, and revolution. It's all part of the same, and it's been around forever. The left of America, well, they're actually following George Soros' script for fomenting revolution to take down a nation.
Yeah, and you know, he'll be 90 in 2 weeks.
Amazing. Well, this is why George Soros and big-time corporate America,
as in Walmart, Google, Apple, and Amazon,
along with China, too, are funding Black Lives Matter, because they need Black Lives Matter to invoke a violent response from Trump and patriots so that CNN can claim
peaceful protesters are being shot by Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm. So this lady from Yugoslavia says, do not fall for the trap, says citizens should hold our fire.
But for some, that's pretty hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we probably won't even have to shoot back because George Soros is probably already funding opposite groups to advance his civil war. You'll see. Watch for it. Focus on the good news, and that is Jesus is coming soon.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to SheilaShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message. 2-440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are always needed, and any donation will automatically add you to our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative biblical teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Thank you, dear. Mm-hmm. So, a memorial date on the Jewish calendar is tomorrow, beginning at sundown, till Thursday at sundown. In Hebrew, it's called Tisha B'Av.
Or the ninth day of the month of Av.
Yes. Where they fast in deep mourning over some extremely important and tragic historical events. And the Jewish people will tell you the ninth of Av represents judgment and punishment from God for their many acts of rebellion throughout history. And as Moses wrote down and warned them about before he died, and it's all laid out in detail from chapter 28 to the end of Deuteronomy.
Amazing. That some pretty horrific events all occurred on the same day throughout many years.
Which is why they practically hold their breath till the end of the day at sundown and fast and pray that nothing significant will occur.
And we'll let you know next week if it does.
For sure. But tonight we want to outline them for you from the beginning because it truly does give one a deeper perspective about our God and how specific dates are important to Him. So, way back in the Old Testament, as recorded in Numbers 13, we read that on the ninth of Av,
number one,
when the 10 out of 12 spies returned with the negative report of there being giants in the land, the people got scared and refused to go in to Canaan, even though God told them to, and that he would be their ultimate conqueror.
But they would not trust God.
So God made the decree. They therefore would never enter the promised land.
Except the two believing spies, Joshua and Caleb.
Right. Therefore, they would remain in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation died off.
All that consequence for rebelling against their God.
Who, by the way, more than proved to them he was the God above all gods when he took them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. Hello. A lesson that still applies today to his righteous, who must also have a trusting belief in God, especially during times of trials and testings. Honey, would you mind reading Hebrews 11, verse 6, please?
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Did you get that, saints? He rewards those who seek him with diligence, because faith comes by his word. We urge you to know more about him by digging deeper. Thereby, study Jesus with diligence through his word.
Yeah, don't just read it and then move on.
Right. Okay, so number two, then, many centuries later, after Solomon built God's magnificent temple, there came Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon,
who, also on the night of Av, began burning their temple, and it was done by the next day.
Jeremiah 52:12.
And then number three, and this cannot be just a coincidence, centuries later, not only had the first temple been destroyed on the night of Av, now, so was the second temple.
This time burned down by the Romans in 70 A.D.
Which was also called Herod's temple because he, a proselyte Jew, needed to make nice with the Jewish people. So he remodeled it and made it much more luxurious than did Ezra's boys.
But still more.
Number four. The region called Betar, which was the last fortress to hold out against the Romans during the Bar Kokhba revolt.
He was the hailed military leader at the time for the Jews.
And they really tried to stand up to the Romans, but in AD 135, fell hard, which pretty much sealed the fate of the Jewish people. And then number five, 1 year after that, was the fall of Betar.
Again on the 9th of Av.
That's right. The whole Temple Mount area was plowed under, leaving only the western wall that we still see today.
But obviously later it was resurfaced.
Yes, and the Dome of the Rock was built upon it around 690 A.D., supposedly on the same site as once stood the Hebrew temple. But now we know probably not, but rather south of where the temples once stood.
Okay, then, jumping ahead to the time during the diaspora.
Number six, in 1290, King Edward I of England expelled all the Jews, told them they all had to get out by the 9th of Av. And isn't it interesting to note that England's prosperity drastically fell after he did that?
And then Spain did it too, 200 years later.
I know. In 1492, King Ferdinand of Spain also issued an expulsion decree, setting the Ninth of Av as the final date by which not a single Jew would be allowed to walk on Spanish soil. You know, I don't think any human person would bother to precisely arrange all this.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
But it says a lot. Very obvious that dates are significantly important to God.
Amen to that.
And we're not done yet. There's still more.
Number eight, World War I, 1914.
Started the downward slide to the Holocaust. Began on the 9th of Av. And number nine, in 1942, the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka was on the 9th of Av.
Yeah, tell me God's not a date setter.
I know, right? So why can't we be? So you can see why devout Jews around the world seriously mourn, fast, and pray on Tisha B'Av. It is important to understand that out of all these occurrences, the Jews are most profoundly sorrowful over the loss of the manifest presence of God that dwelt in the temples emanating from the Holy of Holies to all of Israel.
Of course, as Christians, we are now the temple of God and Jesus.
And we feel Him everywhere. But in spite of all their faults, God's face is still turned towards His land and His people,
who one day will all find true salvation.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So to them, there is a dimension of His presence that is missing since the temples were destroyed.
And why they want it restored.
Mm-hmm. Too bad they don't understand yet that Satan wants that temple too, for his adoration and worship as God. This man of perdition, the Antichrist. I think it's important for you deeper thinkers to pay attention to see how God really does arrange events to occur on anniversary dates, as we have often shed light on and will soon again. Also, one of the reasons I believe He will come back for His bride on an anniversary date as well.
Oh, for sure.
And, of course, more on all that coming next month and September.
Okay, we still have a few minutes.
Oh, good. Because you should know that a rare occurrence is happening at the end of this year. It's been 5 years, but this year the Vatican will once again allow the Shroud of Turin to be displayed at the Young People's Annual Meeting. And you have that name?
The Pilgrimage of Trust on Earth.
Trust on Earth. Usually when the Shroud is displayed, we get a slew of questions on whether we think it's an authentic Shroud of Jesus Christ.
We do not, and here's why.
The number one reason is the coins on the eyes. It was definitely not a custom in the first century for Jews to put coins on the eyes, and even if they could, it would never be coins with an astrologer's staff on it, which the image surely shows. Another reason is Isaiah 50 says his beard was plucked out.
Yeah, the shroud clearly shows a beard.
Also, they did not bury the dead in a long cloth, but rather strips of linen wrapped around the body, with the head using a separate piece of linen, which was seen in the empty tomb.
As recorded in John 20.
Actually, as they did in Egypt, since they were there for 400 years, and it's all they knew, so they still buried bodies by using strips of linen separating the legs, which is why it was easy for the risen Lazarus to just walk out of his tomb when Jesus called his name.
As recorded in John 11:44.
Mm-hmm. And what is very important to reflect on is surely you know that God would never want people to worship a piece of cloth, which many, especially Catholics, have done and still do, even kneeling before a piece of linen. In fact, it was against God's law in Exodus 20, verse 4, to have any image of anything in heaven or anything under the earth. And even paintings were not to have faces on them. Yet the modern church is prepared to flock to a mystical Shroud of Turin, like an idol. Now, did God change His mind and suddenly decide that He wanted a self-portrait? I don't think so. You know, we shouldn't even give it credence at all, because God just wouldn't allow that. But Satan would, and here's why. For over 25 years now, I have thought that perhaps the false Messiah, well, he just might look similar to the shroud, thereby fooling them all into thinking Jesus has returned. And now, most Christians, and not just Catholics, do believe it is the actual burial cloth of Christ. So, now that we have DNA testing, they could get his DNA from the shroud? Perhaps, as has been suggested, some scientists could find out who his descendants are. Yes, you heard me right. Now, do you see the reason behind Satan's scheming to make people think it's real? So that eventually he can disprove the gospel and people will believe it. That I'm sure of. Especially after the rapture. Now, this search for a genetic bloodline of Jesus, which they've tried to do for a long time, is setting the stage for the Antichrist. And believe me, Jesuit Rome is behind it all. And Pope Francis, I saw a picture of him praying in front of the shroud when it was last displayed back in 2015. Now he's been Pope since 2013. Again, deception is Satan's first name. And New Age gurus and just about all the cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses, have long claimed that Jesus was just a good teacher, just a man who achieved a higher consciousness. Scientists can no longer deny his existence. Nobody really can now. Too much proof that he was here. But Muslims, as many others, just portray him as a prophet. But the real Christian, that's you and me, we identify through faith and the Holy Spirit that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but truly God incarnate. Saying that Jesus Christ was just a man denies his divinity and thereby denies the mission and existence of the Savior, which would destroy the entire message of the New Testament and advances the agenda of the Antichrist. It's all planned. The poor and badly beaten individual whom the cloth portrays, it's just not Jesus Christ. Anyhow, that's how we see it. Now, next week, we'll begin looking at the important dates of the fall season. It starts with Teshuvah, or Teshuvah, however you want to pronounce it, and that's a 30-day time plus 10 of repentance, and we're going to go over all that. We'll go over the fall feasts pretty much in detail. So make sure you tell your friends to tune in. And don't forget, it will be archived on our webpage. So, this is very important. Have you even wondered whether you're a real Christian, or could you be just a Christian in name only? You know that Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where Jesus talks about that? You know, do you think that there's a possibility that you might just have a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction? Like no desire to be in his word? If that's you, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It's absolutely your call. Don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, shalom, shalom. Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in many, many ways. Keep praying for our president and keep looking up. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.